Golf Talk America is brought to you by Club Corp, the leader in private clubs. Go to clubcorp.com for more information. And presented by the French Lick Resort. Go to frenchlick.com and you can check off something that should be on everyone's bucket list.
Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and a belated happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there as the rest of the country, I think, is getting hunkered down a little bit. Cold air coming through a lot of parts of the country, making it feel like, you know, it is kind of wintertime. And here we are in the later part of November, December, and we got some golf to be talking about. The Match 3 you may have seen during your long holiday weekend, which, of course, is the continuation of the charity matches that they've been having. This one between Peyton Manning, Steph Curry against Phil Mickelson and Charles Barkley, and entertaining, I guess, as the other two have also been, and some good shots, some not so good of shots, but we'll talk about that with the man who was right there on the spot. Danny Medina is the director of golf operations at the Stone Canyon Club, which is where this took place outside of Tucson, Arizona. So we'll talk to Danny here in just a little bit. We have Frank Bassett, as always, in the Nashville studios. How you doing today, Frank? Is it getting a little bit chilly there in Tennessee?
You bet. Hey, Tim. Happy belated Thanksgiving to you. Yeah, man, we had snow yesterday. I mean, earliest we've ever had snow in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's cold, 26 degrees. Won't be hitting the links today. I'm going to stay inside by the fire I guess watch political news or something. I don't know. Maybe watch the Golf Channel today. Is it still on the air? I'm not sure.
Golf Channel's doing something. Yeah, they'll be doing something. I don't know what.
There's some stuff going on. Yeah. Hey, man, the match was fabulous. Photography, the aerial photography. Yeah. That golf course is absolutely beautiful. And as you said, our good friend Danny Medina, who's been a good friend of ours for years, personal friend too, is the director of golf operations, as you said. And he's also the GM or assistant GM. He's the number two guy there. Number one in golf, number two in the entire resort or country club. And it is a very exclusive club. Member Phil Mickelson owns the club and is a member there. Gary McCord lives on the course. Barkley's a member there, and many others. So this is going to be fun. Danny's been with them, you know, coordinating the whole thing. He was saw him on TV a few times by accident. Got in some camera shots. So, wow, we want to talk about a couple of tee boxes. You watched it. Did you see that one tee box that looked like they had to land you with a helicopter, just drop you on top of it? Yes. I wouldn't want to go up there. I would not want to be. If you lose your balance, you're gone.
I didn't see enough of it as they gave a background of the course. Is it how new a course is this? Is this something that Phil just took over, or did Phil own it at the beginning and build it?
Well, it's been around a bit. We'll let Danny get into kind of the details of that. But
it was a great Phil course.
Phil
I mean,
bought
it.
He
really cool.
He liked it so much he bought it. You know.
Okay.
It's kind of like the old.
Yeah,
I like the company so much I bought it.
There's a golf course out in when I do long drive events way back in the day, and we went out of Las Vegas, went to Mesquite, Nevada to do them. There's a golf course there called Wolf Creek, which is still ranked as I think one of the better golf courses in the entire country when you look at a top 100, and certainly if you're looking to get away somewhere and go. Anyway, it's in Mesquite, and when you're talking about that tee box, they had a couple there. Very similar, you know, Mesquite, Nevada was very similar to what you'd see in Tucson, Arizona, desert kind of golf courses. A couple of tee boxes where you'd climb, it seemed like 100 steps to get up to a tee box, which was great views, and you'd stand there. But, oh, my God, if you went off the back end, if you hit a
you're
shot
gone.
That was a little bit, you're gone. I mean, you seriously fall 100 feet down. I mean, it's cool as all get out, but you're making sure you don't overswing.
And it's not, it's rocky. There are a lot of rocks. And around and under and beside and on top of some of those rocks at times are things that have no shoulders. It's the desert.
Which Barkley got to see quite a bit of. We saw Barkley a few times,
you know,
standing amongst the cactus.
Yeah, but Phil too. But I will tell you, I was impressed with his game. I really was. It's come a long way. So, you know, he worked with our friend Hank and Steve Johnson for a period of time. Barkley did on the old show on Golf Channel. But he looks better now than when he worked with Hank and Steve. So we probably need to get Johnson on to talk about that.
He talked about he and Phil were talking about what Phil had worked with him on.
Yeah,
I don't know if that was all by itself would help, but I haven't seen Barkley swing that smooth like ever.
Uh-uh,
I mean, he's always had that three pump jerky like I can't swing, kind of, and you're like, oh my God, is it what's going to happen here? It's an explosion, and he didn't have that. He hit his first three tee shots, his first three fairways. I was like, what the heck is going on here?
We'll talk about this with Danny, but he kept wanting to reach for his driver, and Phil would go, put it back. Nope, my man.
Yep.
Hit a five iron.
Yeah.
And Phil was giving him erroneous yardages.
I know.
And on the first hole,
he
hit it perfectly on the first hole, and Phil said, my bad. I gave you the wrong yardage because I figured you wouldn't, but you hit it. So... And Barkley said, don't do that to me anymore, Phil. Give me the right yardage from now on.
Phil had to pay the price, remember, because alternate shot. And Barkley went like all the way through the green, and Phil was left with a 98-foot putt.
Yeah.
Because he misread the yardage on it. And he said, well, I got to give you more credit, so I'll tell you the real yardage as opposed to what I think you're going to hit.
You know, Tim, I've watched all the matches, and so have you. That was the most entertaining of all of them, I think. It really was.
Yeah.
I don't know what the ratings were.
Barkley, they took him out of the booth. Remember, in some of the earlier ones, he would be the commentator.
Yeah.
And I think they go, you know, let's put Charles on the course. And I guess at that point, they knew he could do about at least what he did, as opposed to the, oh my God, he's going to hit it, as we've seen in the past, where he'd hit a tee shot 32 yards.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, this isn't even fun. Watch this. He had his game at least as good as he can have it, I think, to make it entertaining. And plus, they're all mic'd up, and they're giving each other a bunch of grief, and so it was fun. I thought it was, you know, for charity and for good causes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. It went up against my Notre Dame Fighting Irish football game, so I had a hard time flipping back and forth.
Well, why do you even watch that? I mean, you know they're going to beat everybody. Who did they play? The Sisters of Charity?
Notre Dame beat North Carolina. It's a good game.
North Carolina, wow. Whoo, big
it was. They were number 18 in the country. I don't want to get
into 18 in the country. How many games have they played this year?
10.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, it shows you what I know.
Nine or ten.
Okay, Notre Dame, they're good. No, I'm pulling your chain here.
Beat Clemson.
I think they're going to beat Alabama. Yeah. They'll probably meet for the championship. I don't know, man.
They look tough. We'll see. I know. And by the way, and we'll take a break here because we've got to get to Danny, Vanderbilt has made a little bit of history, too, with their female kicker.
Yes, they did. Yeah, she also happened to be the leader, the captain of the women's soccer team.
Yeah.
And they had just won the championship, just come back from the championship.
Won the conference championship.
Yeah.
That's right.
Just come back and had won the.
She's from the Dallas area.
She is from the Dallas area, yeah.
I will say this. People are going to be skeptical, and I am too, that, okay, she kind of kicked a squib kick about 20, 30 yards. It wasn't the most dramatic of earth-shattering events, and I think the media way overblew what happened. But having said that, not want to get into any more. Good for her, and it's kind of
it was
cool
great
to see, and for Vanderbilt,
it was historic. It was historic. Well, yeah, I know I mean, a good friend of mine. He and his wife, Derek Mason, was relieved of his head coach position on Sunday. Coach Mason, all the best to you. He's one of the finest men I've ever met. Great family, and he was all about graduating his students and making nice young men out of them, so in good citizens. Yeah. So I wish him the best in his future endeavors, and hate to see him leave. But you know what? While we were talking, somebody jumped on the line, and I think we may have the director of golf operations
he jumped on the line. He's Russian intelligence?
He's
snuck into the conversation somehow?
Yes, I don't know. He's with us now, though. Danny Medina's on the line with us. Danny, how are you, pal?
Good morning, Tim and Frank. Good morning. Thanks for having me on the line, guys.
Hey, buddy. Good to have you.
Thanks for answering my phone call.
That's an inside joke. Of course, I call him while he's there with Barkley and Peyton and all the guys in the match, and he responds immediately. Or I call him and he picks up the phone. Right? But he called me three times this morning because I had forgotten that Arizona doesn't do daylight savings time.
Daylight savings.
Yeah, so I kind of
earlier
stiffed him this morning. Apologize for that, Danny, old buddy.
No, it's all good. We got a head start on the day. We're going to seize it.
Yeah. Well, you were at work until midnight last night, weren't you? I mean,
I just want to make sure we reintroduce him because it's been a few minutes since we said this. Danny Medina is a director of golf operations at Stone Canyon Club, just outside of Tucson, Arizona, where the match that we were talking about with Manning and Curry and Barkley and Mickelson was played, match three. And so that's who Danny is, and that's why he's with us. So just want to make sure everybody maybe joined us a little bit late.
Yeah,
so it's out who we were talking to.
Well, Danny and I get on the phone. It's like, hey, buddy, how you doing? And,
I know. Everybody's talking, and we're like, who are you guys talking to again?
Oh, yeah, this is a radio show. Sorry, I forgot.
Yeah.
Danny, you've not had much rest over the past few weeks, getting ready for the match, and then of course, airing the match live, and then playing 72 holes, I believe, on Monday after the match for your PGA section, and raised a bunch of money for that. So you've... And you guys are doing inventory, I guess, this time of year, of course. So
we're burning the candle from all ends. No, we're having fun. I mean, it's obviously out here in the desert. We've got pretty much every day to look forward to with some pretty decent weather, so we can take advantage of extra activities. So it was last week was a fun week hosting the match three. Absolutely, you know, it was obviously a made for television type of event with the way Stone Canyon is laid out here in the desert. The way the aerials came out and the type of footage taken to showcase the event worked out perfect for us, as, you know, hosting galleries out here at Stone Canyon would be quite difficult, as you could imagine, as you saw on TV. A lot of stone and rocks and desert in our landscape out here, but we had a great time with it. All the celebrities were great to work with before and after the event, and especially obviously during the event. Nothing but gracious gentlemen who came out to enjoy and raise money, obviously, for a great cause with, you know, historically black colleges and universities, food banks that they were raising money for. I mean, Feeding America, it was great.
Millions.
I mean, the energy was good.
Millions of meals,
absolutely.
Right? Millions of meals.
Millions
were,
of meals.
Were donated.
Were donated to Feeding America through the charitable efforts that they put together, and what an amazing, it was just an amazing story and project that they worked on that was quite successful.
Danny, give us, give Tim and I and our listeners some of the background of your club, when it came into existence and then its new owner, I would venture to say, and just a little bit about the background.
Yeah, Stone Canyon is up here nestled in the Tortolita Mountains, just outside of Tucson, Arizona, in Oral Valley is what we call the city we're in. It's a little over 1,400 acres of land that was designed back in, 2000 by Jane Morish. Phil Mickelson Golf Properties took over the club here 5 years ago. So they have been actively involved, investing into the club and, you know, working together with the membership, speaking on the membership just a little bit. I mean, what nothing but great support from the members, you know, since not only that I've been here, but since ownership and with this event, understanding that we're a small piece of jewel that not too many people get the opportunity to experience due to the exclusivity of the golf club. So, you know, hosting the match three really put us back on the map as to where we're at and who we are and so forth. But, yeah, we have 18 holes here with a nice standalone health and fitness center with free weights and pool and full amenities when it comes from massage services to food and beverage and locker rooms and, you know, world-class golf as well. So not to mention a pretty stellar practice facility on premises here.
Well, Tim and I were discussing, and I'll let Tim jump in. I don't want to take over the whole conversation, but we were talking about the visuals that you mentioned. I mean, watching it on TV, it was incredible. What an absolutely gorgeous place, but, and it's a positive but, there are a couple of tee boxes, at least one in particular that I saw, that I don't think I'd want to go up there and stand on it and then lose my balance, because you've seen my golf swing, Danny, and...
I know. I think you engage the core enough to where you will keep that stability in the swing, though, Frank. You know, we've been working on that.
Yeah.
Well, so. But there are. You're right. You know, we've got some picturesque tee boxes that I think once you got here and you knew what was up there to be able to see, I think you'd sack it up and climb up the stairs we've got and take a peek at what's out there on the horizon.
So Tim asked Danny what you said. How do they cut the grass on that tee box?
Yeah, I was curious about how you get up there.
A couple different ways. We'll either walk mow. Most of those tee boxes have a personal path for the walk mowers to get up, so they don't have to go up the stairs. So we're either hauling that up or we fly mow it with a weed eater or what have you.
Wow.
But
what a gorgeous golf course. And I love desert golf. It's just absolutely beautiful. And just to be able to play it, one of the funny things, Tim, and you and I talked about this too, was playing golf in the desert. Barkley was given a goodie bag by Manning. It said it was from Tiger. I figure he must have called you and said, "What should we do to him? Because this is your course. You tell us what he needs." I mean, what all was in that thing? That was hilarious.
There were some flares, I think, in there. There were some cones. He had a reflective mat or a reflective vest. He had a horn, I believe, so that they can, rescue kit going.
Find him in the desert. Yeah. They had an air horn in it and the cones. The funniest part of it was the orange vest. And because Peyton made the comment, they're deer hunting. You know, they're deer hunters. It's deer season. Somebody might shoot you because you get lost out there in the desert. Tim, you jump in. I'm going to hush. Danny and I talk all the time.
That's okay. I was going to say again that we're talking with Danny Medina. He's a director of golf operations at the Stone Canyon Club, where the Match 3 celebrity event took place over last weekend, and very, very entertaining. Matter of fact, Barkley telling stories is some of the fun of that whole thing, and he's so good at that. And we talk when we have Paul Stankowski on, and his idol is Charles Barkley, because he says Charles does the least amount of homework of any analyst in any sport ever. And it's so true. When he does NBA or anything else, he just does what he does. He just talks. He says his things. And one of the great stories was when he first moved and was traded from the Sixers to the Suns, Phil's now 92. Wife, Amy, was one of the dancers for the Suns cheerleaders, if you will. And she talked to Barkley and said, "You need to play golf with my boyfriend," at the time. And, sure, Barkley says. It went on and on for weeks and weeks and weeks. "My boyfriend Phil still wants to play." "Yeah, fine, whatever." Finally, he says, "Okay, what's up with this? You keep bringing a guy up, and Phil, what's Phil's name?" And she goes, "Phil Mickelson." And Barkley goes, "Why didn't you tell me it's Phil Mickelson?" He goes, "I thought it was Phil, a bartender." "No, I kept telling you yes, but I wasn't going to play golf with a guy. I don't know who your boyfriend is." He goes, "Yeah, I'll drop everything and play with Phil Mickelson." So it was a great story, but that's kind of the entertainment of having Barkley on there, right, Danny? I mean, he's one of those guys that can just almost take the three of us and Charles Barkley and make it into 2 or 3 hours of entertainment.
Absolutely. No, we've got lucky to be able to have, Charles come out a few times before the event and talk about a gentleman, salt of the earth. I mean, nothing but respectful, first class all the way, every single time that he was out. I mean, he's a true celebrity, and he definitely champions that role by leading by example and being very professional and appreciative of the opportunities that he's been given. But that's what I got from Charles. That's just a personal take. But you're spot on. He doesn't do a whole lot of homework, or doesn't need to do a whole lot of homework. He can carry a conversation with anybody and just be himself. And it's comical. He's great to be around. It's definitely entertaining. And you got to be careful, because in a few hours, your cheeks will start hurting from all the laughing you're doing.
His game looks a lot better than I've seen it, and not that I'm watching him on a daily or weekly basis, but and I know Mickelson made reference to what we talked about, Phil. I mean, he kept saying, "You remember, Charles, what we talked about, and I'll be darned if he didn't hit three straight fairways. I don't know, Danny, if he worked with you at all on the practice range before he got out there, but Mickelson, maybe if it's him, maybe it's whoever else has been working with him, but he looked like, Barkley looked like he had a little bit more game than I've ever, or a lot more game than I've ever seen from him before.
He hits a good ball. I didn't see a hitch, in my experience watching him and around him, through his visits. He's compressing the golf ball, he may squirrel one off to the right or left, but for the most part, it looks like he's enjoying the game of golf a whole lot more than he ever has in quite some time, which is nice to see for someone who has really passionate about the sport and enjoys it so much. But I think DraftKings had him on hold too. You know, if you bet, I think it was a little over $1,400. You almost netted out $5,000, and sure enough, he hits the fairway, right? So, you know, even up until trigger point, the confidence out in the world wasn't very high for those types of odds. But sure enough, he striped it down number two again, gave him a chance to go, or Phil a chance to go for the green.
He made my Christmas money. Thank you, Charles.
thank you. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so give us some insight on this one. On the first hole, Phil gives him the wrong yardage on purpose because he didn't think Barkley would pull enough club to get it to the hole.
Yeah, and he
flew it through the green. What was that all about? Did he take a lot of grief on that one?
He did. You know, he even gave himself quite a bit of grief on that one coming up on two. He thought he, you know, because they were looking to go two down on hole number two, and Stefan and Peyton ended up giving him one back to where they snuck it out. But I think he was putting, you know, wrong club on hole number one, you know, felt the juice going on two, and I think they were able to turn it around. But, yeah, that was the one coach mishap, it sounded like. But it was pretty interesting to see Phil coach him around the golf course. You know, I think there was some good advice. I think if you talk to any golf professional or avid golfer, I think those are the right type of mindsets you want to put yourself in. And a little course knowledge or home course knowledge helped. I thought it was comical. I think it was on seven where Phil hit it off to the right and one of the rocks, and it bounced back into the fairways. I think it was McCord who said, "Hey, how'd you know which rock to hit?" And he comes back with one of his classic one-liners. "I own the place."
Yeah, I own the joint. Yeah, that was pretty funny. How was McCord? He's a good friend of this show and a good friend of ours. How was he to work with? Of course, he's a member there and lives there, I believe, doesn't he?
He lives up in Scottsdale, so he's maybe about an hour and 20 minutes away from us, and it was nice to see Gary come back out of retirement, right, and walk around and, you know, share his knowledge of golf and commentate for these guys. But who doesn't like listening to Gary on the headsets, right?
Yeah, Gary's the best. There's another person that I have to bring up because he's a turncoat. He didn't go to his father's alma mater. That's my alma mater, which is the University of Mississippi.
Ole Miss.
You got it. How was Peyton to be around? Peyton's got a lot of game in him, too.
He does. You know, he had that low left shot going for a little while there, right? So he straightened it out, you know, along the middle of the round. But he's got game, I'll tell you. You know, his brother Eli was playing behind him with Bleacher Report, and he can hit a decent ball as well. So the Manning brothers, you know, that's probably a pretty good member guest duo right there.
Yeah, it is. I've played with Cooper before, their brother, at Jordan Spieth's event. I got to spend some time with Cooper in Dallas a few years ago. And, Eli was – I was looking forward to seeing some interaction between Eli and Peyton. We didn't get to see that because the match ran – you know, it was running a little long. But hey, what a fun thing for you and your club and all the members there. You had some members out there. I saw people – outside of their houses, but there wasn't really allowed any patrons. Am I correct in assuming that?
No, you're right. With the partnership with Turner, you know, they did a really good job, and the number one focus hosting this event was to provide a safe environment, not only for the players that were coming out and their families through the holiday week, but we wanted to make sure that we kept the club safe as we were bringing in people from all over the country. To put this event on, we wanted to leave the place safe as well. So from the mandates and the COVID testing that we were doing on a daily basis to make sure that everybody who was on premises was tested and safe, that was very important. So that's what led to the restriction of any access for spectators, patrons to come out and enjoy the event so we can keep the club safe for the valued members upon their departure. So you know, it's unfortunate not to be able to. I mean, who doesn't want to come out and watch something so special like this? But it definitely put us in a safe environment as we opened back up Saturday morning for the membership and their invited guests to come out and enjoy. So,
is it something, Danny, that
just comes
that
with the nature of the beast
that your members are proud of? I mean, sometimes it's a little bit awkward for some private clubs to have events because some members are like, no, we don't want to have anybody out there hacking up our golf course or fans walking around or TV crews or anything else. And others are like, no, it's great. It's a great experience. It's a positive thing for the course. It's a, sometimes 50-50. Did you get a good response from your members to have the event there?
We had great response. The membership has been nothing but supportive to champion this event and proud to showcase Stone Canyon to the world. Like I said, yeah, nothing but positive support from the membership here. They've been fantastic ever since, you know, the initial conversation started taking place to put this show together. So a tip of the cap to the Stone Canyon members, and I'm giving them a shout out as their leader here on, at the clubhouse, but that's all truth. And it was great. Yep, nothing but great energy around
the Tim, I wanted to apply for immediately after seeing it the first 15 minutes on TV. I wanted to apply for the membership director's position because I would imagine you guys are getting a lot of inquiries right now about what's a you know, a non-resident membership cost, and how can I, is it invite only? Can I get in on the deal? Because it did show incredibly beautiful on television.
Yeah,
what a gorgeous
beautiful
place, man.
It sure was.
Gorgeous, yeah.
Again, we're joined by Danny Medina.
That.
He's
You're
the director
right.
of golf. I'm sorry, Danny. He's the director of golf operations at Stone Canyon Golf Club in outside of Tucson, Arizona, and it did photograph very well. You know, drone TV cameras have kind of revolutionized a lot of stuff that we're seeing so much more with drone coverage. We saw it at Augusta for the first time and saw, you just get to see different angles. You literally get a bird's eye view of golf courses and facilities and things around. So you got to see the community around there, around your golf course and some houses and stuff. So it was really, it was just gorgeous. I'm curious though, Danny, for people that aren't in the environment and that has desert golf, if you will, which is pretty much, I guess, from West Texas to California and into Utah and stuff, there's some desert golf, but most of the rest of the country doesn't experience that. Is it hard to maintain that? Because it seems to me that nothing grows unless you water it, but once you water it, it's amazing how green it is. And the contrast between the green and the brown, where it's nothing growing and it's cactus and brush and everything else, and then beautiful, gorgeous tee boxes, fairways, and greens. Is it harder to maintain a desert golf course, or how different is it than if you were in Michigan or Indiana trying to put a golf course together?
You know, I haven't had the pleasure and experience of growing grass, you know, east of Arizona. I'm not particularly fond of shoveling snow, so I've never really cared to venture out of Arizona. 365 days of sunlight sounds pretty good to me, but from an agronomy standpoint, you know, it's a plant, right? And we do most of the clubs out here in the desert are overseeding, where we're, you know, putting a winter base plant out there to thrive through the colder months. And we live off of a Bermuda base through the summer months, which, you know, adapts better to some warmer climates. So it is challenging. There, you know, hats off to all the superintendents who deal with the transitions and overseeds. And but there's two different types of plants and materials that we're using out there to grow these type of conditions that, you know, you don't have to do in Michigan and so forth, that don't go dormant through the cold summer or the cold months.
Yeah, Michigan only has golf, what, 2 months a year, don't they, Tim? I mean,
week and a half.
For a state that has more golf courses than any other state. Can you believe that? It just unbelievable. Yeah. But
Guys overseeding a lot of courses out in, I don't think you guys are doing a whole lot of overseed over out in Dallas, are you, Tim?
If it's you know how that goes. A lot of them do, but the ones that do, of course, you have to then kind of pay the price in the spring, because then you have sometimes the two grasses, the Bermuda and the rye,
transition.
Don't always mesh, so you have that transition period, and that's kind of a rough thing. So some people don't do it or choose not to do it because of that, but others do just for the look of it, really. So it looks similar to what you guys saw in Tucson. It looks so pretty with that.
And we
overseed
do.
That it's hard to beat.
We know? Do in Tennessee. I mean, we have to here. And as you saw in Augusta, there was a mix of Bermuda and rye. So
yeah,
it was. I will tell you, I'm going to go out on a limb here, but seeing Augusta, you know, as we saw it in the fall, and then watching Danny's club, I'd pick Danny's club to play first, only because it was just the stark contrast. It's so.
I don't think anybody's going to believe you on that one.
I've played Augusta.
Frank,
I've never played your course.
You're out there, okay,
I know Augusta. I don't know your course. I mean,
I don't know that Augusta plays very well, but I don't like it.
I gotta tell you though,
I don't think that tournament's gonna make it. I don't think it's gonna make
it. You know those Georgia boys. Who knows? Recount.
I don't know. What they're
recount.
Doing. Yeah.
Recount. Here we go.
No, I'm not getting into that.
We're talking
Arizona golf, and we're talking Danny's Club, and so Danny, let me ask you if someone from my club wanted to become a member of your club, is it invitation only? Can they contact
Charles
you
Barkley? Or? Invitation only.
Phil. Well, if Phil invites, I'm sure you know it is his place.
Yeah, exactly.
But how do you inquire about a club as exclusive as your club? There.
We are open to memberships outside of the gate. So Stone Canyon is a tight, exclusive, gated community. If you own a piece of property or home in here, you must be a member of the golf club. And we are open to limited memberships outside the gate. So Jen Radke is our membership director here at the golf club, who's handling all our membership inquiries. Currently, we're running at $20,000 initiation fees with monthly dues and food and beverage assessments. Now, full disclosure, that initiation fee will rapidly go up here week to week as and that there's truth.
Interest rises.
As we've
Get closer to full membership,
been
yeah.
put on the map. We are. We're very close to it. So as that number gets there, we'll strive to get up to anywhere between $70,000 and $100,000 for the initiation fee, where we used to stand before, the mass, 2007, market crash and so forth. So that's where the club stood before, and that was the initial vision back in 2000 when it opened up, was to have the membership status at that level. So we'll get back to that hopefully here by the end of 2021.
Well, it certainly, every club did though, Tim and Danny, as you know, during that time, Sawgrass, Marsh Landing, my old home club, and all the clubs that had, $70,000, $100,000 initiation fees had to drop it. I mean, just to hang on because of the economy and what happened. But
exactly,
I think everything's coming back now. Of course, during the pandemic, golf went crazy. Rounds increased everywhere.
Still is.
It's going nuts. So it's the only sport you can get out there and kind of be safe, and enjoy walking the park, so to speak. So, yeah.
Danny, what I think Frank was really getting to is, if he and I happen to just show up in your doorstep, would we be able to maybe go play a couple of rounds?
You got my cell phone number. Give me a jingle, but no. You would not be able to come on out. We are strictly private. You've got to be hosted by a member of here at the club. So I don't know how many times we've reiterated that on a phone call for the past 5 days, but it's been great. At least people are picking up the phone and giving us a jingle to see about enjoying the experience here at Stone Canyon.
I'm calling Phil.
Exactly.
I've got his number. I'm calling Phil. Yeah, it really was a special thing. Give us something that nobody else has heard yet, Danny. What something had to happen, funny or something that you can tell off the record.
Little locker room,
that happened there during the pre and post the match by Capital One. And TNT, I should say. Turner.
Oh, man.
Got you on the spot. I know. You probably can't tell
you
too much.
Did.
Did you have dinner with these guys beforehand, or did you do anything with these guys, like a little lunch before or the day before? Steph Curry?
We haven't talked about Curry.
He's like the best golfer out there except for Phil, right?
Plus one. He's a plus one. Yeah. What is Phil, a plus five?
I think they had him at plus six on DraftKings when they were posting all that stuff.
That's right, yeah.
Back office stuff, the cool thing that I think that I saw out of it is these guys were committed to the cause, especially during Thanksgiving, time away from their families, their unwavering support for the event. When they got here, it was how much money can we raise and who can we champion, and they were really focused on an event, which I thought was really special. They weren't just coming out to play golf. Their hearts were in the right spot for the event that I don't know if that quite came off. I mean, it, obviously it came off on TV because they were talking about it, but you know, it really showed from a passionate side that I noticed quickly when we had our pre-meetings before we went live on television and so forth. But I mean, a few of the stories, I don't think I'm comfortable sharing those because those were all locker room talk from these guys. And,
we've done this to Danny before.
I don't need my phone ringing from Steph or Charles, you know, or anybody saying, hey, no one else was supposed to know that, so I'm going to keep that here at Stone Canyon.
I totally understand. I had to go there though. You know that. I mean, you know, you could tell some stories about
trying to push the envelope.
I know you could tell some stories about our days or my days, especially at the Masters. So we won't go there. Won't talk about that. So that's our annual get together with Danny and his friends is at the Masters, and we're always there at Azalea House and having fun. But Danny, congratulations on putting on one heck of a fantastic event, and our best to your entire management team, grounds team, all the people that work there at your club, and all of your membership. We're so impressed and so happy that so much money was raised for charity, the meals, the historic black colleges and universities, of which, you know, Katana Stark was the, I'll throw this in real quick, she's been on the show, of course she's passed now, but she was the head men's golf coach at Tennessee State University, where Sean Foley went. And she was the swim coach, got thrown into that job. A great movie out there, and I wish I could think of the name of the movie off the top of my head. But about her life here at Tennessee State University, an historic black university that was money was raised for during your event. So y'all did a great job, man, and for great causes. You know, God bless your hearts and all of your people, and we value your friendship very, very much, Danny Medina.
Tim and Frank, thank you guys for having me on the radio. Appreciate it. I hope you guys stay safe, and thank you to all the listeners who took the time to either look us up online and learn a little bit more about Stone Canyon, and appreciate you guys tuning in. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, buddy. We appreciate it so much, Danny.
All right, be safe.
You too. Bye-bye.
Take care. You too. All right.
That was good. I didn't mean to step on you there, Tim. I didn't mean to step on you.
That's okay.
Yes, I am again. But since we're not looking at each other on Zoom, we kind of bounce off each other sometimes when you're in Dallas and I'm in Nashville. But it was fun to talk to Danny. He's a great guy. And
good golf course, too, man. I tell you.
Oh. Well, that club's lucky to have him. He's a first-class individual. And he and his wife, Elizabeth, and their new baby, I mean, he's just the best, you know.
As he said, he's been in Arizona his whole career, which is not easy in that business. Those guys bounce around a lot.
Not Danny.
Usually from state to state to state and all over the place, and he's kind of stayed right there in that area. Not the same club, obviously, but in that area. Good for him. He's not looking to leave. So yeah.
No. And Elizabeth, his wife, is just place to be. She's special, too, and precious. And his parents, you know, live out there. In fact, they're right down the street from Jim Furyk's parents there in Tucson. So, yeah, it's Danny's introduced me to a lot of great people out there, and it's been fun visiting him.
I've never been to Tucson.
Oh, you got to come. The Coligard Classic is, of course, there every year. And Danny has been a part of that forever. And now he's moved on to this Uber Private Club, which was a great, great career move for him, I think. And congratulations to him on what he's doing. We'd love to have him as part of our club court family somewhere, but I don't think we can get him. I think he's going to stick right there, you know.
I don't know why you'd leave, right? I mean, it seems like it's just nothing's easy. I'm sure it's a very challenging job, but if you're going to have a challenging job, I think the looks of that place would be a fun place to be, to have a really cool, challenging job in Tucson, Arizona. So, yeah, I look forward to it. Someday, I just got to get there. It's one of those places. I got to go.
Think about this. You know, you have members who, and you saw the houses, okay, that paid the $100,000 or more to become members, and the dues and all that, and food and beverage they're not cheap, as they should not be. But to have all those people as your boss, basically, although he's, you know, the director of golf, they're all his boss, all the members.
Sure.
And then, of course, you have Phil Mickelson. So what are you going to do? That's a tough, a lot of tough duty there, but he's the man for the job, no kidding.
They pulled off that event. I mean, it was not only entertaining, but, you know, there's so many moving parts with the technical part of it, having TV and audio and everything else going on. They're all wireless. You could see they all had their earbuds in, and there was a lot of technical stuff that could have really messed up and taken away from people watching and enjoying it. and it didn't happen. So it was entertaining. It was fun. The weather was perfect.
Turner did a great job.
His shorts on to show off his calves, you know.
So. I know you're an old CBS guy, nice. But Turner did a great job, Tim, with that. They really
did.
And to me, it was the most fun match of the three that we've had so far now. So it was a Capital
One,
you know,
great
sponsor.
They got guys calling in too, right? You got people zooming, so you had Dion, right? You had different guy, Dion Sanders. You had different people that could be a part of it, and even Charles's
nemesis,
NBA, TNT on NBA. You know, you had Shaq in there, you had Kenny, and all that. It was fun. I mean, they made it, and that's kind of the challenge of a lot of those things. Let's go back to the first Tiger Phil match. The complaint most people had was it was dull. Right. Okay, it was great golf, and to that point, two very, very good golfers that could hit great shots. But, boy, it just didn't really entertain people. And for that, you have to entertain people. It's not about the great golf shots. We see that week after week. And I remember we talked about that, and I haven't said the same thing. I go, at some point, you got to figure out how to get entertainment. And I'm not criticizing Tiger in this sense, but Tiger's not, by nature, an entertaining guy, right? Some people are. There's Lee Trevino at one end, right, who could entertain – mm-hmm. You know, two trees and a squirrel and have a great time.
Exactly.
And then there's other guys that are great golfers.
Let's see,
not
like
personality-wise,
Curtis Strange, maybe. You know, like
yeah. You know, they're just not. They're not naturally funny and all that. So that's where Barkley plays into this. It's like, okay, yeah, he's not in any sense a great golfer, but if you can entertain it, and then you bring in all the other people that want to give Charles old stories. I don't know if you saw the part where he had Deion Sanders in. But the NCAA, I'm sure, was looking at that going, oh, please don't bring this up. But Charles was playing in the NBA when Deion was still in college.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, they went out to dinner, did whatever, and Charles gave him like $500 for his, air quotes, cab ride home, you know, so he could get. And Deion's like, I needed the money, so yeah, why not? And the NCAA is going,
oh, God.
No, people that, you know, you're not supposed to give him $500 when he's still in college. But
yeah, I caught that.
I mean, that's what made it better, you know, than just watching – good golfers trying to play for, you know, $9 million.
Shaq,
so
Shaq was dumb. I mean, tearing him up. I mean, it was, and some people said, well, they were talking over each other. I've heard this on some other shows that will go unnamed. Well, so what? It was fun. It was entertaining. And it might not have been, much like us, perfect radio or perfect television, but it was perfect entertainment. And that's what people want.
Yeah.
You know, people, I could care less if someone enunciates perfectly and looks the part of a Peter Jennings on ABC News at night, but it was fun, man.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. Did you notice though what Barkley's golf balls had on them?
I don't think I noticed. He had an Auburn golf cart.
I can't hold that against him. I mean, that's an SEC. that's an SEC mistake on his part. But never mind.
And, oh, by the way, the tweets. I'll get back to what you're saying, but the tweets too, right? Like Justin Thomas tweeted in. They had a bet about if he makes a putt or doesn't make a putt. It's a dinner and all the wine you can drink. And it was a bet on Alabama. That's what it was,
Alabama-Auburn.
So that's fun. That one had a good time. And everybody was giving Charles, he's such a good, gregarious guy and gives a lot of people a lot of crap, but he takes it really well too.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, even Shaq at one point said, Charles, how do you expect to read a putt when you can't even read a book?
Yeah,
Charles
heard that
starts
one.
Laughing. Yeah, Charles starts laughing. Everybody's laughing. I mean, it's just that's what makes it fun.
It was fun, but it's on Charles' golf balls. It was the face of Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, was it?
It was his face. So every time he lined it up and hit it, he'd smack him right in the face. So that was pretty funny. Another thing that happened, I was remiss. I meant to ask Danny about was when Phil threw out that little bet, cash bet. For a hole in one. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Yeah.
What was that? $500,000?
Something like that.
Yeah, I think. I mean, $250 or $500, whatever. And Barkley said, I'm in. Barkley, everybody's in.
He can't help but not bet. I mean, I swear he will bet. I've told you this before that I've played golf with Mark Aguirre, formerly Dallas Mavericks, number one pick in the draft out of DePaul, blah, blah, blah. And years ago. But he played with Detroit and Isaiah Thomas. And so Mark Aguirre, if you don't remember, great basketball player. Well, he's tight with all those guys in Barkley. He's that era in Jordan. And he said when we'd play, he goes, Charles will literally bet on almost anything. And a lot of times if he bets on a golf or a couple of holes, he doesn't want strokes. I mean, his ego gets caught up in, no, you don't have to give me three strokes because I'm terrible. I'll play you straight up for the next three holes. Well, these guys are like, well, yes, I'll take that bet because you're terrible. And he'll lose the bet and he'll pay up. And they're all like, Charles, you got to take, that's the whole point of a handicap. You got to take some strokes. He doesn't want to do it. But he said, Aguirre said he will bet on make this putt, the up and out of a bunker. If you'll make anything that's going on a golf course, Charles is putting $5,000, $10,000 on everything that's going on. And he said, when you're done, you got to have the cash. Nobody says, okay, I'll pay you next time I see you. I'll send you a check.
Yeah,
no, there's none of that. It's
peel
pull
it
out
off.
Your wad of cash. And yeah, I mean, start making your payments. So
that sounds like
it
my
was
club.
Pretty intense, but that's how Charles likes to play.
Well, I mean, he hammered Justin Thomas a little bit too. He said, I don't know if one of the announcers said they didn't know if it was a fair bet of dinner and all that because, you know, Charles can eat a whole lot more. I think Samuel L. Jackson said, well, Charles can eat a whole lot more than little Justin Thomas. And Charles said, no, that little skinny boy can eat.
He'd put it away.
He'd put it away, yeah.
I think they've had a few meals. He said he can put it away. And that's what's great, too, about it is, you know, it brings superstars of different sports. I mean, there's no way in a normal world that Charles Barkley and Justin Thomas are hanging with each other, right? I mean, they're very different generations, different sports, everything.
Yeah.
So the fact that this kind of event oftentimes brings those guys together and makes them become friends if they're not already friends, or we get to see kind of the friendship between some of these different guys. That's what's cool about it, too. I mean, I hope they do more and more of these because certainly a guy like Phil or whatever, maybe it takes him out of his competitive juices sometimes to, I can't break away and, you know, play fun little rounds all the time. But they are fun. I mean, they're good. And you got to have at least a couple or one or two, in this case, one really good pro golfer. You can't just, I don't think it'd be as entertaining if it was four hackers out there, right? If you just put four guys that, Phil made it kind of legit golf, if you will, right? It's kind of like having a basketball thing, but none of them are a real basketball player. Okay, well, it's fun to see him joke around, but at some point you got to put the ball in the hoop. And at some point you got to see Phil hit some really nice shots and, you know, drive par fours and everything else. So that kind of brought the star part of it back. So, I thought it was highly entertaining.
Yeah, it was. I do a country music, the CMAs every year, and then we used to have Fantasy Fest. Oh, God, that's a Key West issue. I didn't mean to go there. Country Music Association and the Country Music Festival here in Nashville. I play in a softball game. It's a celebrity softball game. I don't know why I'm in it. I'm like the odd man out, you know, being whatever. But you don't see that. Golf brings everybody together. You go out and play softball, it's a whole lot tougher for a non-true athlete to get out there and play like in a flag football game or a softball game than to take a golfer and put them in a golf celebrity event. Because they're already a golfer, number one. They love golf. Most every athlete I know loves golf, and they all strive to get better at golf. And you know, if you can watch Dustin Johnson shank a shot or Phil Mickelson, you know, duck hook it or cut it out of bounds, then why do you think you should never miss a shot? You know?
Well, and it does lend itself to this kind of event. There's really nothing else you could do that you don't have to be a really, really great athlete. Like you could get, you know, Shaq doing something that's you know, celebrity softball. Well, he may not be able to really hit a softball. And in which case, guys aren't going to do it because they're like, I look like a fool because I don't really play softball or baseball or basketball. But golf, everybody, even a Charles Barkley, because of handicaps and everything else, you can still have a good time with it.
Yep.
There's time in between shots that you can, you know, when you're gonna mic somebody in a basketball, you're up and down the court, you can't really get them to talk. So golf lends itself to this kind of thing.
Yep.
And I think, and even let's throw in the gambling part, right? DraftKings, we all know that legalized gambling has become bigger and bigger all over the country.
Oh, yeah.
And certainly it was a big part of this, that you can bet on every little thing that's going on. And that's going to be a bigger player in the world of golf in general, that people are going to be betting, just like you hear about Super Bowls and everything else. People, we talked about it during at Augusta, right? That people are going to be betting on golf and golfers and over-unders on the best round of the day and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
It lends itself to that as well. And I think that's even a bigger thing that's going to happen to golf in the upcoming years, now that we've got it legalized, if you will. And by God, there's a NFL team in Las Vegas, Frank. I mean, nobody ever thought that would happen, right?
They
put a sports team.
What do you mean,
oh,
Sin
God,
City? Sin City is Phoenix City, Alabama. There was a movie made about it. There's nothing simple about Las Vegas. It's just adult entertainment. It's Disneyland for drinkers and gamblers.
That's what on steroids.
On steroids, yeah. No kidding, yeah, man.
That's what it is. That's what
all it right, is. So before we go, just a little shout-out to you about my Tennessee Titans that I diss just mercifully, mercilessly, I should say, in the past. My God, we're 8-3. How did that happen?
I know.
How did that
That's
happen?
A legit team. That's a legit team. That we got to get our good friend Earl Forsey on with the Redskins.
Oh God!
Talking about who by the way are possibly going to win the NFC East and be in the playoffs despite the horrible record. But that's beside the point. But we love hearing him and talk about what's going wrong with Washington sports. Tennessee Titans are legit. They are definitely a team that could be going to the Super Bowl.
Everybody dissed Tannehill in this town when he came here. They said, oh, my God, sure, you saw what he did sure down there. He was terrible. He sucks, yada, yada, yada. Why are you kidding me?
Yep.
With Tannehill and his arm and Henry and Moore and our line, Tennessee is legit. You can't take it away from our head coach either, though. Vrabel is fabulous as a head coach. He is he's good. So hopefully we can
I don't blame you. They should be proud of that because I think – I mean, again, Pittsburgh and Kansas City, tough teams to get past. If you have to get to the – they'd be better off if Tennessee was in the NFC because I think there's better teams in the AFC. But they are certainly a contender to be up there with Kansas City and Pittsburgh as far as who's going to win the AFC and go to the Super Bowl. So
why not if
you can get a lead and you got Derrick Henry to hand the ball to the whole fourth quarter and just run out that clock, he's the guy to do it.
He's incredible. I mean,
he's an offensive lineman that can do a 4.5 40.
his stiff arm, it was a classic stiff arm a couple of games ago.
God.
He just knocks people off their feet. Just get out of my way.
Yes. Yeah, he's like Jim Brown. Remember back in the 100 years ago?
Yeah.
Jim Brown was so much bigger and faster than everybody else and almost than everybody trying to tackle him.
Couldn't
that
get
nobody
him
wanted
down.
To.
No. He didn't get hurt.
Looking at each other going, you get him, you get him.
I'm you
like,
know,
no,
poor,
I don't want him, you get him.
Poor Jim, you mentioned him, lives in L.A. And a few years ago, we're all out there. He playing golf, and he joined us. He can barely walk. I mean, you know, he's pretty beat up from all his NFL days. But he's another one that's just like a Charles Barkley, just a super nice person, nice guy.
Yeah.
And another one who eats, breathes, and sleeps golf. I mean, they just love golf. So anyway, it's been a good Thanksgiving. We got through it. I hope everybody out there as well, you and your family for sure, Tim. And you know, we're on our way to
remind everybody stay safe, Frank. I mean, still we're in the midst of it. You know, we all kind of think we're out of it, and we wish we were, but we're not. And we'll get there, but we got to keep our masks on. You got to keep your distancing. You know, we still see people walking in and out of places without masks on. I'm like, just wear it, even if you don't think you have to. Just wear it, even if you're going outside from store to store, whatever. Keep it. It doesn't hurt you to keep it on. We're getting used to it, so it is one of the things that it is what it is. Just be safe, and it keeps everybody else safe around you. It's not just about you. It's about the people that you might be able to be in contact with and give them something as well. So I'm just really emphasizing it because it's something I want to be gone, but it's not going to be gone or certainly is going to be lingering longer if we're not careful and we don't listen to what the doctors and everybody tell us to do. So that's my little lecture. Just everybody
keep
your mask on, keep your distance. We should be okay.
Well said. Okay? Hearts and prayers go out to all those families that have been adversely affected by this mess. And hopefully we're on the precipice of a vaccine and get rid of this damn thing and get the world back to normal. And back in church.
Back to our normal problems.
Normal football games, normal church services, and everything else that goes along with being free in an
actual
America.
Crowds.
Yeah. Actual crowds. Can't wait.
You see all that? 49ers have to play in Arizona.
Don't get me started.
Right?
Don't get me started.
They can't play their home games.
You don't want to start this with me.
The world's just different. It's just
California.
Different.
It's different. Right. They put the wall on the wrong side of the country. I'm kidding, California. I'm kidding. All my friends out there, Lauren, Roger, Laura, I'm kidding.
All right.
So anyway, whatever. Start the music. Get me out of here before I get strung up.
Whatever. Seriously. Going downhill fast. Hey, thanks everybody for listening. We do appreciate it. Thank you so much to Danny Medina. Again, Director of Golf Operations at, check him out, the Stone Canyon Club outside of Tucson, Arizona. Great, great club to look into a little bit more. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for being with us. And remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.